Blog Talk Radio.
TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Live Talk Radio Show. 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 TM Hyman Live. TM Hyman Live. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Talk Radio Show. Talk Radio Show. Real talk. Real talk. Talk Radio Show.
By the telly, the venues in Manchester, just swerving with Balotelli. The fuck you trying to tell me?
Bothers me when you gotta play therapist. That shit's embarrassing. Even bring up these niggas and make the comparison. They just gotta forgive me. This watch is a 150. Still ain't got the time for a bitch to be acting iffy. Running through the city with niggas I give a kidney. Selling under 150. You niggas gotta be kidding. Is this even still a discussion? Don't you ever wake up disgusted. Every million I gain an enemy or a cousin. And people's feelings have changed ever since I became something. Girls are becoming ladies and my friends are having babies. And babies are dropping dead in my city. Dude, this shit's crazy. And I don't know if speaking on it helps. This shit's on my mind. I just keep it to myself, you know.
Can't you talk to me?
Radio Live, your hip-hop informer, T.M. Hyman, coming to you live from Tallahassee, Florida tonight. President Barack Obama, his plan is meeting a lot of resistance. Hey, today the president actually proposed background checks on gun sales and bans on military-style assault weapons and high-capacity magazines as a part of a package of steps towards reducing gun violence in the wake of that Newton School massacre last month. But before we go any further, all the way live from Itty Bitty Plant City, give it up, Regina Smith, welcome to the show.
Yes, yes, your girl is in the house representing. How is everyone this evening?
Yeah, good. We are good, Madam CeeLo Boston, running late, but we will proceed. Hey, thanks for joining us. Folks are listening all over the world. They are tuned in Baghdad, the soldiers out there listening to us, and we appreciate y'all. For checking us all the way out in Baghdad. They're listening in Tokyo, Ms. Smith, just in case you didn't know. You were thinking,
wow,
when you tapped into this show. Big up to our friends up there in Canada tonight, and big up to our friends across the way out there in Orlando. You are in tune to TM Hyman Radio Live. Monday night, we kicked off a very serious conversation, and so we had something else planned for the night, but we went back and listened to the show and felt like we needed to pick up where we left off when Monday night, tonight. This gun protection thing is crazy. It is unbelievable how divided we are on gun control.
Amazing.
When we should be tightening laws and putting mandatory sentences, you know, on people who decide to use, I don't think there should necessarily, and this is just me, my opinion, right, one of many, I don't think there should necessarily be a ban on assault weapons. I don't understand assault weapons outside of military war. I don't understand why somebody would feel the need to have an assault weapon unless you were, you know, like a career robber or, you know, or you were a military person. I don't understand the need. But for those who use those weapons inappropriately, there should be mandatory sentences. I mean, like triple the impact, you know. And when you put those type of sentences in place, you tend to curb behavior.
True.
I think that's what's required. But instead of tightening laws, specifically states out on the West Coast are considering loosening those laws. Today, President Obama backed universal gun checks, you know, across the board, along with a few other things. But tonight's topic is specific to the media's impact on where we are as it relates to gun violence. Mr. Medley on Monday, you know, really started to talk about video games, and he talked about the fact that he was online playing a video game and how when it comes to the whole world, America had about almost a 500,000 people Monday night online playing this war game, where most of them were children. And he is a trained military expert when it comes to weapons, and he said some of those kids were literally murdering him in the game.
Yeah.
How much of these games and television and films impact the psyche of not only children, but just human beings in general?
Society
we
want to
hit
in general.
Like, jump on it, 917-889-3926, 917-889-3926. Just press that button on the phone, raise your hand, and become a part of this conversation. Ms. Smith, how much of the video games and television and film do you think impact gun violence in America?
I think it has a really big impact on it. I think it adds to the sensationalism of what a lot of the media is portraying for ratings, sales, and things of that nature. I also agree with you in the fact that, one, I don't, as a regular civilian, understand assault rifles or that type of weapon. I also agree with the fact that I think that they need to stay in the hands of well-trained military personnel who need them for those types of things. And I think that the president's steps today to enact some laws to make them illegal or to make the sentence for carrying them stiffer and mandatory is a step in the right direction. As far as the video game thing with our kids, it gets really difficult when you're trying to, I guess, keep a level of normalcy in what your kids do, and the fact that, you know, sometimes you do want them to have the things that other kids have, but there has to be a line drawn as a parent in what you're going to allow them to be subjected to. Now, if you feel that you can police it and you think your kids are old enough to understand the fact that this is a game and that it's not real life and that it shouldn't be measured in any aspect of the life that they're living in their childhood, then, you know, on one hand, you may be able to do that and it's not going to cause a problem. On another hand, if you're just giving it to your child to appease them so they feel like, you know, one, they have everything everyone else has, two, you're giving them what you feel like you've never had, or it could be whatever the reason is, but you have to police it as a parent. You have to know what your kids are doing. You have to know what they're watching, what they're playing with, and how it's affecting them.
Absolutely. Did you see the ad that the NRA has running right now about Barack Obama?
I just watched it, and I'm speechless. Like, how do you even have the audacity to make that? Oh, my gosh. Wow.
If you have no idea what we're talking about, the NRA actually has an ad running right now that actually posed a question, or what it's not, doesn't even pose a question. It actually suggests that President Obama's children are protected by armed guards at their schools, and he's an elitist for, you know, not wanting to protect your children with armed guards at school. Are you serious? Every president that has had children have had them protected by armed guards.
Absolutely.
It's not that he's an elitist. He's the president. Respect
Absolutely.
It. I think it's totally disrespectful. Folks, this is the bottom line. This is why people are so up in arms. Just in case you don't know, with relatives of some of the 20 children killed from that Connecticut rampage looking on, today, Mr. Barack Obama, President Obama, signed 23 executive orders which do not, I repeat, do not require congressional approval to strengthen existing gun control laws and take the steps needed, you know, on mental health and school safety. Again, 23 executive orders that did not require Congress's approval. People are pissed.
They are heated.
It comes down to money. There's a lot of money in guns. There's a lot of money in ammunition. But at the end of the day, our children are more important. If you just tuned into the show, tonight we are talking about gun violence in America and the media's impact. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the media's impact. How do you feel about it? Do you think video games and television shows and films impact kids at all? Hit us up. Let us know how you think. If you don't think so, one, I question, you know, where you live, because clearly you don't live in America. But let me drop this one fact on you before we get into this next jam. 85% of all children killed in the world with guns are killed right here in the United States. 85%. We need some gun control.
Too much light in this window. Don't wake me up. Only coffee, no sugar inside my cup. If I wake and you're here still, give me a kiss. I wasn't finished dreaming about your lips. Don't wake me
Radio. And you're joining us tonight with our part two on gun violence in America, and we're actually touching on the media's impact. Let us know how you feel.
No doubt. Hey, 917-889-3926. 917-889-3926. Let's go to the phone. Area code 252, last four digits, 2022. Tell us your name, where you're calling from. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing? My name is James. I'm calling out of Virginia Beach, Virginia tonight. And, you know,
hello, James.
Pretty much. Hi, how you doing? Well, you know, as far as gun violence in the media, of course, you know, without television, we probably wouldn't respond to most of the things that we respond to, the clothes that we like. We see them in the movies and different things, the cars, you know, the music. All of it's brought to us through the media. But, you know, I know since I was a child, I had an interest in guns. You know, I remember one of my first favorite toys was this silver cap gun with the roll-up caps that I would stick in and run around outside in Lambert's Point over in Norfolk, and we'd play with these guns,
I
you know, like
that,
cowboys.
I had that cap gun.
And maybe that snub-nose 38 with the ring caps and all of that.
Yes, sir.
And bang them up and switch them out, you know. Those were our first and favorite toys. One of the first magazines that I would read was a Kung Fu magazine, and there was some gun magazines and stuff that I would see in the grocery store, and I would ask my parents to get these for me.
But James, did playing with those toys ever influence you when you got mad to want to go grab a gun and act out, you know, that real life bang bang?
I mean, of course, everyone is considered probably, you know, destroying someone in that way at some point. It's the following through that is the issue.
Absolutely.
When do you have absolute feeling of reality versus what your imagination or your creativity is able to provide?
Right.
You know, because you can fantasize all day about something,
but actually doing it is totally different.
And that's where the policing of the sensationalization of what the media presents comes in as a parent. You have to police it. If you're letting your kid play with any and every violent game, violent toy there is, and you're not paying attention to the warning signs where, you know, unfortunately he's blowing up little squirrels and rabbits and he's, you know, he's having target practice with the dog in the backyard. Like, if you're not catching on to these type of things, then you're blind as a parent to what these things are doing to your child. I mean, it's a far-fetched example, but, you know.
I think that's really true as far as it's the parent's responsibility, but parents can only go as far as they know.
Right.
I say that because I went out on a date with a young lady, and I guess this is a little off base, but this is about how someone could be 40 years old and not understand certain things. Let's say about etiquette, something simple. If someone invites you out to eat, typically they're saying, you know, I got you, I'll pay for you. But maybe when the check comes, you know, the person that's not paying for the bill might take care of the tip. I had a young lady going on 40 years old. When I presented this concept of, yeah, I'll take care of the tab, you know, can you take care of the tip? It was like she was offended, like I was disrespecting her that I wasn't taking care of the tip and everything. And I'm
oh,
like,
actually, no.
I'm
saying what she was saying, she wasn't offended. She just thought she was a cheap-ass Negro.
Basically.
Wow. I mean, I let her order whatever she wanted off the thing. She had like $30 worth of food and drink sitting on the table. I mean, it was cool.
Now, James, you know ladies these days are thinking.
What I'm saying is, she didn't even have to pay for the tip. She could have just walked away and that little, but she had to defend it. I'm talking before I even paid the bill. She had gotten up and walked away. She was in her car pulling.
Well, her thought was, if you invited her, you're supposed to pay for the whole thing.
Yeah, she, you like balling on
cool,
the budget. You balling
as far,
on the budget.
As far as, you know,
budget.
How I was brought up, if somebody's taking care of the bill, you take care of the tip, you know. And I don't know, I mean, maybe everybody didn't, you know, roll like that.
Nah,
and if
bro.
You invite somebody
nah,
out,
bro.
If you invite somebody out to eat with you, you're saying, I'm going to pay for you. I got you. If you don't have it, whatever you don't have, if you can't cover it, I'm going,
it,
I got your back because I want you to come eat with me. You know.
Man, the tip goes along with it, man. Hey, stand by. We got to call it. Stand by, bro. Stand by. 917-889-3926. 917-889-3926. If you're trying to get in on the conversation, gun violence.
He started a whole nother topic.
A whole nother topic.
Happened to gun violence. I thought this was about gun violence.
This is about gun violence. Welcome to the show, sir. Tell us.
How y'all doing tonight? That's good. No, good conversation. Hey, Gene, how you doing tonight?
Hey, that sounds like my friend Boo.
How you doing tonight? Yeah.
Very good. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, of course. But I had to interject because y'all had me laughing. But I mean, the rule of thumb is, I mean, if you might a lady out, I mean, my man, just make sure your money is right. You can't go to the well and not wish, you know, because you're gonna think you're a cheapskate. You know what I'm saying? You got to sit back, and the thing about it is,
to see the family if I want to take my date.
You got to go 20% though, but you always got to tip 20% because that's an impression. That's a long-lasting impression. So if the bill is $100 and you leave a $20 tip, man, she going to bless your tip. I mean, I know we're on radio. I'm sorry. I don't mean to say it like that, but
okay, listen,
that's a good
Jim,
look.
Listen.
I'm sorry.
No.
Hey,
not even that.
Radio.
You keep it real.
Real talk radio.
Yes.
I know, I'm just saying, though, but I'm a mass comm major, so I know. I'm just saying, though, but if you take a young lady out, we're going to get back to the violence. But
yeah,
you have you have to see it all the way through. So if you're balling on a budget, then you can't take it to the five-star restaurant. You got, you know, three-star, little Applebee's, you know, and get it in. But if you're trying to make an impression like Bonefish, man, you gotta take $200 out. You gotta take at least $200 out if you're gonna do it right, $200. But anyway.
What's your comment tonight on gun violence in America and the media's impact, bro?
Just for me, it's impacting the youth. I mean, you sit back and you look at all the movies, and I'm 43, grew up in New York, Queens, and things like that. And I mean, we were always taught, you know, you fight with your hands. You know what I'm saying? But now,
right.
Media always shows, you know, gun violence. You know, you look at the movies like Scarface and all these movies, and, oh, you got to have a gun to protect yourself. And it's just gotten out of hand, you know. And in a situation, you put a gun in the hand of a person who is scared for their life, they're more and prone to shoot you quicker than somebody who has pulled the trigger in plenty of occasions. So, I mean, the media wants to dramatize. If you see Arnold Schwarzenegger, all these actors with these big guns, but like you said, NRA and all these people, of course, they make money off all these weapons and all these guns and all these things like that. So of course, if you put a curb on that, that's gonna affect their money. And even with all the shootings going on, guess what? People are still going out there buying more guns.
Did you see the commercial, Boo?
Which commercial? No, what commercial?
The NRA commercial where they're accusing President Obama of being an elitist for having armed security for his children, but not wanting it in our public schools or in our, you know, our national schools.
I mean, think about it like this. If you look at the internet, what has the internet done? The internet has opened up the world to a whole bunch of lot of propaganda. And of course, he is the executive officer of the United States, of course. But you cannot put armed guards in every school, because then guess what? You're declaring a state of martial law. You know, you don't want to go
much.
Everywhere. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, pretty much. Continue. I agree.
Yeah. Look at all the movies that come out. If you look at some of these movies that come out, you're thinking about, you know, where are these people's heads at? You know, you look at Escape from New York and all these movies when the world gets in chaos. When you start declaring martial law, it changes the dynamics of how the world is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You got people out there who, you know, look at the lot of the stories about all these young blacks. But if you look at it, a lot of the killings, if you look at it, a lot of them were to me were racist, and I mean I'm not saying it like that, but if you look at all these people, none of these situations were these young men brandishing, or were they 6'7", 6'8", 250 pounds, and in any means any threat for their lives. But these people feeling because of the way that these laws are in certain states, you know, Republican states, which I want to say, but it's like, oh, I got the right to carry a gun. I could use it because I feel that my life is in jeopardy. You just open up in Pandora's box. And all these other shootings and all these other things, I mean, people have the right to sit back and purchase guns for hunting. You don't use an AK-47 to hunt a deer. You know what I mean? So a lot of these assault rifles that they're purchasing is not for hunting. They're not made for hunting.
Let's pause for a moment. When we come back, we're going to talk about why we think folks are purchasing and stockpiling these guns. Hey, it is 8:32 in Houston. It's 9:32 in Philadelphia. We'll be back. Thank you.
I'm ready.
This is your girl, Regina. Also on the line with us is Boo, calling from Savannah, Georgia. Is that right? Boo, are you there?
The lines are not open up. We'll open up the lines for actually.
Okay, my bad.
That's our two. We got two callers hanging out with us. That's Boo and James.
And James from Virginia Beach, right.
Say thanks for rocking.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, we're here. The love is here.
Tonight, tonight, President Obama, or earlier today, President Obama signed 23 new executive orders, one supporting universal background checks. Now, on Monday, we talked about the illegal guns that's actually being purchased and the fact that at the end of the day, there's not too much that we can do about the illegal guns because there's just as many illegal guns being purchased as actual legal guns. But who would have ever thought this, that across the country, more than 1 million people have failed background checks to buy guns during the past 14 years because of criminal records, drug use, mental issues, and other things, according to the FBI. 1 million people. Now, can you think, just think, 1 million people with any type of weapon, including assault weapons, that have mental issues or have criminal records and who are trying to get guns. If there were no laws in place to at least filter, to filter the first level of crazy,
wow,
you know, the first level of crime, you know, I mean, think about where we'll be. So what do you all think about the universal background check process that's being implemented?
And my question is, how are you going to make it any better? That was a part of Biden's proposition or proposal to widen or, I guess, deepen the level of the background check. So if you're already weeding out over 1 million people with felonies or other criminal histories that are going to prevent them from carrying a firearm and then mental instabilities, how much deeper do you delve into that to weed out another 1 million people?
You make it universal. See, understand that laws vary from state to state. That right now it's on the state to manage the gun control. So the recommendation is that there's one process across the board. That's the universal background process that he's referring to, that he's trying to propose.
Okay.
But here's my question. Okay, think about this. When we're younger, what did we do? When we wanted to buy liquor and we were underage,
we got somebody else
to do it.
Right. So look at the dude that was in Rochester, New York. He got some girl and then supposedly said that she stole a gun, but he paid her to buy a gun for her and still was able to commit a heinous crime. So regardless on what you do, you got a brother, you got a cousin, you got a girl that got good credit, people go get me a gun, and they're going to do it for you. So there's nothing that you can do to stop from people have these psychiatric problems from getting guns in their hands because they can always find somebody to purchase the gun for them.
That's absolutely true. This is what I believe. I agree with what you just said. I believe if someone is looking to accomplish something, they're going to accomplish it. You know, what I refer to as hook or crook, going to accomplish it. But what I think the process does is it filters, you know, I think it touches the surface to the point that, you know, you overmake it. It only touches the surface, but, I mean, the surface consists of quite a few people. You know,
absolutely.
So we may not be able to catch all the fish with the net, but at least we're getting a lot of the fish with the net.
At least we have a net.
Well, I mean,
I don't see what a background check really does when someone has a current situation and they have access to a handgun. Because that background check is not going to predict how they act situationally right then, and they can just go grab this weapon that's got 100 bullets in it ready to go.
But it's about your trend, though. It's about your trend. And the fact that you don't have a criminal record, it doesn't even mean that you're not a criminal. You could be a criminal and not ever get caught. You know,
I've never even gotten a steam ticket, but you done broke all kinds of laws.
That's true.
And that's me.
True.
That's me. You know, I mean, I speed everywhere I go. But
let me ask you, Uncle Dad.
They're going to be looking for you tomorrow. You better watch out. You just said that. They're going to be looking for you tomorrow. Post it up.
Right. I'm in Tallahassee, too. Yeah, I need to be careful.
Let me ask you daddies and uncles and brothers, big brothers, this question, since we're talking about the media's portrayal in this this big role of gun violence. What age are you willing to let your nieces, nephews, because little girls, you know, play the games too. I got some little goddaughters that are 12 and 13 that are a beast on Call of Duty. Okay, so what age do you let them do that? At what age do you let them watch violent movies?
You can't. First of all, you can't stop it because it's a part of life. It's just like guns in certain rural areas. You know, kids are taught to hunt. 2, 3, 4 years old, pick up a little gun and slingshot. It's just like, you know, we don't even want to talk about it, but it's like having dogs and the dog fighting thing. I mean, it's a part of life and everybody's in a lot of the rural situations. So you can't say, well, you know, I'm training you to hunt for food. You know, kids have put guns in their hands at 3. I didn't start learning to shoot a gun until I came to stay with my grandparents. I'm a city kid. My grandfather was down on the farm. I was shooting a shotgun at the age of 6.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So me being around the guns, but it was a part of the life because it was part of the farm situation to protect your land and again, to bear arms. But a lot of people, it's all about how you manipulate the law and the wording of the law, which allows certain loopholes. So, again, you bought a gun to protect your family and the hunt to provide food. But a lot of people now have used that as a way of saying, oh, man, you know, I was afraid for my life. And when they're shooting people, they're not shooting to maim, because if you look at the crimes that are out there committed, when people, you get more time for jail for maiming somebody than if you actually kill them. And that's kind of sometimes people think of, well, man, this person might be suffering. They may give me life, where if I kill them or shoot them, I may get 10 years because I'm pleading self-defense. So, I mean, it's a lot of different things that you can't say.
Yeah,
the age limit.
Yeah, no, I agree that it's difficult because it goes back to even what James referred to earlier in the show. He said when we were kids, you know, we had the cap guns. You know,
right,
I mean,
yeah.
We were playing cowboys and Indians. And, you know, that's 3, that's 4, that's 5. Where do we get that from?
Cops and robbers.
We got that off of television.
We had the little green army men and G.I.
Yeah.
Joes. And
you know,
it was all about battling and war.
Mimicking.
Then
yeah,
we like Transformers. And, you know.
Again,
it's all
stuff that we see
you know
on television.
That's,
we're
that's,
mimicking
that's
what we've seen on television.
Right.
Absolutely,
yeah.
It's media. And so the question that she asked, you know, for me, it takes me back to a contrast to, you know, how we were raised, our generation, because it sounds like all of us on this line, I mean, are somewhat in the same, you know, age range. You know, I'm 36.
Yeah.
You know, so I can think
be
of the things that we did as kids, you know, are different than what kids don't have play guns. They have now electronic guns that they're shooting at the television. But it's
right,
really
yeah.
the same. It's the same in a different era.
Right.
But it's more gruesome now.
Yeah.
Because kids are dealing with a lot more in the environment. You know, I mean, you know, so, I mean, I think that's a great question. But that only applies to parents. It's only a question for parents who really don't have any idea as to really what's going on with their kids. Because I think most parents, you know, watch their children play. You know, so they're observing it as it goes. But there's another, you know, population of parents that kind of, you know, tell the kids to go play by yourself in there. And the kids kind of fall into a hole, you know, when it comes to video games. And I personally think that video games have a lot to do with our issue in today's society. Call of Duty is one of those issues.
Well, so true, because if you look at it back in the day, and like I said, we're getting closer, we're in the 40-50 club, we're older. You know, we had ColecoVision and the gun games, but we were killing, you know, skeet shooting. It was more about that. But see,
right,
now
Duck Hunt.
like Duck Hunt. But now these kids with these games, their being scared of a gun is easier because the adrenaline rush of killing somebody online now becomes a reality. Right. You know, you got these online games where, yo, I'm here and you're across the thing, but it's combat is, you know, I'm not going to let you kill me. And it becomes intensified. So now it's more like, oh, well, I got a gun in my hand. I'm pulling this trigger. I'm killing these people. Now art imitates life. And it's easy for them to sit back and pull the trigger because in the game world, they're fighting for their lives. So they're overcoming really, you know, even for me when I was 6 years old. Man, I was afraid of a gun. You know, the kickback, the noise, I didn't even want to do it. But when my grandfather stood behind me and coaxed me and showed me how to do it, once you pull that trigger and you feel it, it becomes easy. And you know, all the stories you hear about into, you know, when you get a gun in your waist, yo, your whole aura changes. You become like the big man on campus. I remember the story about the basketball player, Ben Wilson, that got killed in Chicago. I don't know if you ever saw the story on ESPN 30. The guy had a gun. He went and found his uncle's gun or whatever, and it changed the whole demeanor. Because dudes that were walking up to him that was picking at him, once he showed him the gun, they backed away from him. So like you said, the media shows that, you know, a person with a gun is a person with power and authority. So,
no, absolutely.
You know,
I totally agree with that. If you want to share your opinion tonight on the topic, dial 917-889-3926. 917-889-3926. We're talking about gun violence in America and the media's impact. Let's go to the phones. Area code 301, last 4 digits, 4062. So it's name. Where you calling from?
Yo, what up? Save James in the building. Block
Dave,
talk
Dave,
in the house.
What's good?
What's your comment tonight, man? Oh, my bad. Yeah, I wasn't even calling to be politically correct, nothing like that, man. But, you know, I'm hearing about the gun violence thing or whatever and everything. I mean, truth be told, what's going to happen is going to happen, man. Like, honestly, I'm hearing, like, right now, they have, like, a whole conspiracy theory behind it. I'm looking at the cluster, I'm waiting for the party, behind that whole Newtown shooting or whatever. And that thing was, like, all staged and stuff like that. So I'm hearing all kinds of craziness going on right now so they can make a push for, like, you know, legalizing more weapons or whatever in the country anyway. So that's a whole nother story for another day. I need to, you know, pick up on that if y'all ain't really talk about it already. But, I mean, as far as the gun control goes in America, like I said, man, it's the way society bred us now, like y'all were talking about earlier or whatever. You know what I mean? We come up with the cops and robbers and all of that. And you have noticed that in certain societies, I guess the way society has pushed it, the most respected person is the greatest killer or the one that has the most bodies under their belt. You know what I mean? Like the thinking is kind of skewed, but that's the message that they're putting across by doing, you know what I'm saying, by the movie, by how they just display it publicly and how they put so much emphasis and shine so much of a bright light on it. So, I mean, you know, it's a double-edged sword. They talking about it, in one breath, they talking about they want to control it, but the next breath, they encouraging it by different avenues of exposure to just the weaponry that's at hand. That they glorify that. I mean, that's a big thing. The biggest guns get the most hype. Talk about it in rap songs. You know, you see it in movies. You know, it's just the constant attention they put on it. And at the end of the day, the media controls the population's thoughts anyway. So if they glorify
media absolutely has a significant impact on everything that's going on. Hey, we'll be right back. You're into the TM Hama Radio Live. Gun violence in America, media's impact.
Got to tell her again, and if she wants to, she can just bring a friend. When she give it to me, I'ma kill up like a murderer. Now what's the plan now? Wind it to your gem now, girl. I'm just saying now, give me yeah now. Oh, she a fan now. Tell them how I ran down. So tell your friends how I made you say ooh damn wow. I'm
you a 50 as long as you mean you say whoa.
We also have a caller waiting on the line from area code 202. Last four digits are 4062. Welcome to T.M. Hyman Radio Live.
What's going on, T.M. Hyman family?
What'd you do?
D.C. in the building.
What's going on? Hey, I'm just calling to say this whole gun thing, I call it, a lot of people are mad because it's their toy. People want to take away their toy because they get these assault rifles and they put the grip on it and the scope on it and everything, and they talk about for protecting your family and protecting your home. You don't need that to protect your home. You don't need it to hunt Bambi. You don't need it to protect your home. And some people say, oh, it's to protect you from the government. It's not going to protect you from the government. The Constitution says a well-organized militia. A lot of people, they're not organized. You got a bunch of fat guys that are sitting here with a new age toy, and they're thinking they're doing something. When the government has something, they will blow out their back and their whole family back. So,
what do you think some solutions to the problem are?
Well, the best solution is get rid of all of them, but that's not going to happen. So you have to do what you can. They need to do background checks everywhere because you shouldn't have any loopholes for gun shows or for if you're selling it from one person to another. They need to ban all extended clip magazines. There's no need for you to have 30 rounds. Because if someone comes to your house and you have a gun and you fire at them, most people are going to stop. Even most hardest criminals are going to stop because they're going to look for something that's easier.
True.
You don't need.
What if they got a gun, though?
But if they have a gun, most likely.
And they just ain't as scared as you ain't scared.
But see, most cat burglars aren't carrying a gun to break into a house. If they got a gun, most likely you got more going on in your house than just a flat screen TV on your wall. And it's not up to the government to make sure that you're able to have a Tech 9 to protect whatever illegal you have going on in your house.
I mean, because I'm gonna play devil's advocate right here. Like, you know, the only reason I say, I would guess it would be somewhat permissible or what they, you know, what they may be trying to or not trying to do or whatever as far as gun control rules. But, I mean, if these other crazy people out here getting hammered, ain't no telling what they're going to do from day to day. These bipolar cases that haven't been diagnosed or whatever the case may be, people suffering from severe depression that just want to go off and take the people, some people with them before they go. I'm just saying, I'd like to be ready. That's just me. You know what I mean? I think you should.
I think you should be ready, and that's all I'm saying, have the right to bear arms.
Yeah, and that's my point to the situation. It's like, okay, if they lifting these bans, then just any Joe Blow could go get it. Then hey, damn it, I'm not looking for it. If the shit find me, part of my French, I'm gonna be ready. That's just how I'm looking at it. You know what I'm saying? I think they get even playing ground.
Hey, I feel you. I feel what you're saying. I'm not saying you shouldn't have the right to protect yourself, but it shouldn't be to the point where we got a low-level arms race. Oh, he's got a 22. I'm going to go get a 38. Oh, he's got a 38.
Right.
I'm going to go get a 9.
Right.
Oh, he's got a 9.
Right.
I'm going to go get a 10.
Exactly. And I feel the same. Like I just said, I don't understand why someone would have an assault rifle at home unless they're into something illegal. Or they are a part of the military, because, I mean, clearly when you're at war, you need something like that. But I don't even see someone feeling threatened why you would have the type of weapon that, you know, that the young man had that killed the 20 kids. It baffles me.
Like the guy in Connecticut, it was his mother's. His mother, they lived in an upstanding, real good, safe community. She had an AR-15, two handguns, and like they said, like 6,000 rounds of ammo. Why?
With a mentally unstable child in the house.
Because she could.
It was like some kind of compensation. She was compensating because it was kind of like the guy that compensates and go get a fast car.
You know, I didn't want to go there, but that's really what it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, in the last few minutes of the show, my friends, I just want to thank, you know, James calling out of Virginia Beach, Virginia tonight. I want to thank Sabian. Sabian, you in New York or D.C. or Maryland?
I'm in D.C. right now.
In D.C. Coop is calling out of D.C. And we had Boo calling out of New York tonight. I mean, the folks are tuned in. I mean, people are listening all over the world. So clearly this is a hot topic. This, I think it comes down to education. These type of conversations, we've got to stimulate awareness. And for me, this is about protecting children. I mean, think about how many kids have killed themselves. I can think of a recent story in New Jersey where a baby found his father's gun that was just laying around, and he killed himself. You know, we're talking about carelessness. To Cook's point, it's about carelessness when it comes to such a tool. This is not a water gun. This is a gun that should take somebody's life. And so the education and the awareness of it all is why we do the show. Thanks for rocking with us, everybody. Any last-minute feedback, comments, questions, concerns?
Yeah, I got one.
90 minutes left in the show. Go for it real quick.
I got one.
Left. Excuse me, 90 seconds left. Go for it.
Hit me. That's all I'm saying. Be a stage game. Hit me, son. All right.
We'll do.
The only comment I have is Regina757 on Instagram, Very Hot Chocolate on Twitter, hotchocolate757 @gmail.com. If you have any questions, you have any show ideas, you just want to shout us out, hit me up and I will respond.
Absolutely. Thanks for rocking, everybody. Rika Ora taking us out. RIP. Good night. TM on the Radio Live.
And it's inauguration weekend, TM.
RIP to the girl you used to see. Her days are over. Baby, she's over.
Reach out. I feel your aura. Jump out at the remote. Get in my flag and saucer. I'll make you call me daddy, even though you ain't my daughter. Maybe I ain't talking books when I said that I can take you across the border. I'm young and free. I'm London G. I'm trying to.
TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Talk radio show. Real talk. Talk radio show. TM Hyman Live. TM Hyman Live. TM Hyman Live. Talk radio show. TM Hyman Live. TM Hyman Live. TM Hyman Live. Talk radio show.